Howdy, Chris, how are you?
Yeah, good, Graham. How are you?
Well, I'm fantastic and good to have you in the studio with us. I'm speaking, of course, of Chris Field, the State Ombudsman, our ninth segment, Royston, who always knows about these things.
I didn't know it was that...
No, but he would.
Yes, I was going to say, he's absolutely on the ball, Royston.
He failed, and can I just say, he failed to send me a photograph of himself in his Melbourne Cup attire. Is that the cup today?
I was a bit disappointed when I was told that he wouldn't be here, because originally, I'm now a proud Western Australian, but originally in Victoria for 40 years.
Very much.
Never went to the Melbourne Cup once.
No.
I thought it was a bit ironic. I was coming down here tonight and Royston was down at the Melbourne Cup. So,
how could you not go to the Cup?
I've been to Derby Day and others, but never to the Melbourne
never
Cup.
Never gone to the Cup. Mm. I reckon if you don't want to see the Cup, go.
Yes.
Because you see lots, but you don't see the Cup.
Well, that's one of the reasons I suspect I never went.
I think so, mate. You got to be in the grandstand, and it's not easy to get a seat in the grandstand, is it?
Chris? No, look, it's very crowded.
And of course.
It can get a bit lively by the end of
boisterous,
the day,
perhaps. You're yeah, even
possibly,
boisterous.
Possibly boisterous.
Even boisterous. As Kenny pointed out, in a very effective way, actually. Mate, the thing I think to stress before we point, we've got a couple of things to play, and then Rex and Terry and Steve, good on you for calling through. We'll be coming straight to you. The Ombudsman really is there to make sure that correct processes have been followed, isn't it? That's really your job.
Yeah, that's a great description, where an independent umpire... an officer of the parliament, so we're not responsible to the government of the day. We're really there to make sure that people get a fair go and a fair process when dealing with government.
And as you say, you actually answer to the parliament.
That's exactly right.
So you're not beholden to whoever happens to be in government at any given time, and that's quite deliberate.
Yeah, and look, that's the case for ombudsmen right around the world, and it's a particularly important protection, because when you come to us, you can be confident that we're going to deal with your matter in an independent way, in a way that's not partial to either the person who comes to us or to a government department.
So the way I like to think of your role, like let's say I'm in dispute with my local council and they follow due process and I'm really still not happy with the result, as long as they follow the process, you're happy. I mean, that's, you know, you're not there to change their result. But if I, on the other hand, I have been trying to present really germane evidence, and for whatever reason, it's never been admitted, it's never been heard, and there's been a miscarriage of justice, I haven't had a fair go, then you definitely get involved.
Yeah, that's exactly right. I usually don't substitute my view as a decision maker for another decision maker, but I look very carefully to see, have people been given a fair go, a fair hearing, have they had a chance to actually have their arguments heard, the person who's considered the decision, have they considered relevant things, have they not considered irrelevant things, have they done it without bias, have they done it without conflict of interest. These are all the sorts of what we call administrative law, but administration, procedural fairness, the fair go element having decisions made by government and local government.
And you do have the authority to say, no, hang on, there is a conflict of interest here. Something we have to go back and start again here, because this person can't, no matter how, there is a perceived conflict of interest, we need to redo it.
Yep, a whole range of remedies. Could be an apology, could be start the process again, could be some form of compensation. Basically, whatever would be fair and reasonable in the circumstances, that's the remedy we would apply.
And it could be, that you have a problem comes up a couple of times, you as an ombudsman have a look at it. You may then go back to the legislators and say, look, this act is, the act's in trouble, doesn't work. Because the bureaucrats apply the process fairly, but the outcomes are not fair, and the problem's in the legislation itself. Yeah. So you need to amend it.
Absolutely correct. One of the things that the Parliament looks to for an ombudsman is to say, look, you resolve disputes about concerns that people are having with government services, but look, over a period of time, if you're seeing the same sort of thing again and again, if you think it's important, if you've got that sort of evidence, then come to us and talk to us about that, do a report, do an investigation, get the evidence, and make sure that we can fix up those sort of systemic problems.
That's why we do this segment. It's great that Chris, not many ombudsmen offer to come in. It's fantastic that he does. And we have a couple of things quickly. First, a call that we took from Raylene. Now, Raylene had a Western Power issue, and we'll have a listen to her call.
My husband and I were called away to Melbourne because my sister had a mastectomy done.
Oh dear, sorry to hear that.
That's all right. At least she's alive.
Yeah, indeed.
And when I got back last Thursday, our power was turned off.
Oh, charming.
Well, first thing I did Friday morning is go pay it. I rang them.
Oh, I see, yep.
And they said that won't be back on until Monday.
Right.
And I said, well, why is that? She said, well, Western Power and Synergy have got some sort of law, you know, since they've been together. It takes 2 working days.
Really?
Yes. Well, that was Friday. Then I rang four or five times today. I rang.
What, you still haven't got it on?
No, I still have not got it on.
So when was it supposed to come on, Ryan?
Today.
Okay.
So I rang them again when I got home from work, which was just after 2 o'clock, but I rang them at 11:44 this morning.
We won't go into any more detail. There's a lot more detail in the call, but you get the heart of what it's about. Someone's had the power cut off because they haven't paid the bill, then they pay it, then you're told it'll be 2 working days, then it still doesn't happen. Chris?
Yeah, well, look, there is a code of conduct that regulates the reconnection of electricity. Basically, when you contact Synergy, depending on what time of the day it is, if you contact them before 3 p.m., they do it the same day. After 3 p.m., it's the next day. But when I say they do it, they then contact Western Power. And Western Power have a certain amount of time, generally either one business day or two business days, once again, depending on whether you call before 3 or after 3. And at that point, the connection occurs. So those times are in there, and I think they're basically trying to balance up, a commercial sensible time to be able to actually do something with, of course, trying to get people reconnected to electricity.
Okay, that's that one. The other one is just a straight compliment.
I think it's Clive, the Ombudsman.
Yeah, yes.
Several weeks ago about a war.
Yeah, it's Chris
that
Field.
I was having with Western Power.
Chris Field is the Ombudsman, and he's the Energy Ombudsman, actually, as well.
Yes. Well, see, I didn't know that.
There you go.
Until I heard it. Yeah. On the program.
Good for you.
And within the day, somebody rang me from his office and he said, I'll call you back within a week. You know, I gave him all the details. Well, he called back yesterday and he said, Pat, we've had a win.
How about that?
And Western Power have wiped the bill.
Pat, that is fantastic.
It is indeed.
So there you go. There you are. She was a pretty happy customer, Chris.
Well, one of my fantastic people gave Pat a call, and can I say that that's our job, of course. We're here to serve the public and get those results where they're due and appropriate. But look, how terrific of Pat also to actually ring up and express that thanks to us. We do hear in society often complaints, not sometimes as many people saying thank you. And Pat, very generous of you to call, and we thank you for it.
That's what Nightline listeners are like, Nightline family, as I like to call you. Brilliant people, actually. Now, Rex and Terry. Rex, you got a very interesting question for us. Rex has an issue with the Prisoner Review Board. Terry has a thanks to express. Thanks for hanging on, guys. We will be back with you straight after this.
If you're in small business and have a success story, you could be a winner thanks to Bankwest and 6PR. The Bankwest Small Business Success Awards celebrate the exciting and often challenging lives of small business owners. For your chance to win a $10,000 Bankwest Business Zero transaction account and a 6PR advertising package, enter at 6pr.com.au and tell us your business success story. That's seriously happy banking from Bankwest Business. Terms and conditions at 6pr.com.au. Bankwest Business Zero transaction account is issued by Bankwest. Consider the PDS at bankwest.com.au. 882 6PR.
Open up your home to a world of new options with Perth Window and Door Replacement Company. They'll replace your old, tired, existing doors and windows in no time with no fuss. All you have to do is choose the product that best fits your lifestyle and budget. From stunning aluminium bifold doors, sliding windows and more. Perth Window and Door Replacement Company. Call 9200 2282 for your obligation-free quote.
Hello!
Jerry, you won't believe what I have on the living room floor.
Oh, Pamela, not the plumber again.
Of course not. It's an alpaca, darling.
Good Lord, is it house trained?
Jerry, you fool. It's alpaca wool carpet.
Luxuriously soft and delightfully different. Alpaca wool carpet from Doug Buckey's Carpet Court. Opposite Chelsea Village, Sterling Highway, Netherlands. Doug Buckey's Carpet Court. Extraordinary floor coverings for extraordinary homes.
Wizards One-Off Wednesday is here.
This Wednesday only, get 15% off store-wide, plus 50% off sunglasses, 25% off makeup, and every customer gets a $5 voucher for your next visit. You won't buy cheaper this Wednesday. The Wizard gives you his word.
Wizard Warehouse Pharmacy, get better,
Yes. Conditions apply.
We could all use some extra space around the home, and Granny Flats WA has the solution. Whether you need a rumpus room for the kids, a teenager's retreat, a pool or games room, a home office so you can actually get some work done, or a granny flat to keep you close to the ones you love. At Granny Flats WA, they can custom build your additional accommodation at a fraction of the cost of brick and tile. Phone for your obligation free quote. Visit grannyflatswa.com. Builder registration 11156.
The Bose store Subiaco has partnered with Panasonic to give you the ultimate home entertainment packages at the ultimate price, up to 30% off. Save up to 30% on Panasonic plasma and Bose home entertainment packages now. If you want the best sound and the best picture, head into the Bose store Subiaco and save up to 30%. Stock is limited. Be quick. The Bose store Subiaco. B-O-S-E. Bose. The best.
Incontinence. It's not something we talk about every day, but it affects 1 in 5 Australian adults daily. Now, some good news. Thanks to Connie Reusable Continence products, it doesn't mean to change the way you live. Connie offers the most cost-effective and innovative range of reusable continence products on the market, including bed share and linen protection, plus a range of discreet modern underwear. Get on with life. Ask for Connie Continence products at your local pharmacy today. Also available in the Connie for Kids range too.
Until midnight on 6PR, Graham Maybury.
And in the studio with me, we have the State Ombudsman, Chris Field. He's also the Energy Ombudsman, folks. So if you have concerns about your power bill, your gas bill, he's the man right now. 922-11882 at 22 to 9. Good evening to Rex.
Good evening, gentlemen.
Hey, thanks for waiting, Rex.
That's okay. I'm the State Director of Civil Liberties Australia, and we've got a couple of questions for the Ombudsman on the justice sector. First one, hopefully quick and simple. You'd be aware probably that the Department of Corrective Services has a internal complaints service they call Access. Now, the feedback we're getting from prisoners is that they're not entirely happy with the confidentiality level that they receive when they lodge a complaint through there. So the question is, do prisoners still have the right to complain to the Ombudsman? And if so, do they have to go through Access first?
Thanks, Rex, for your question.
Great question.
Of course prisoners can come directly to the Ombudsman. There's a confidential system for them doing that. Look, depending on what the issues are, it will regularly be the case, of course, that we will refer those matters back to the correctional system, and that's for very good reasons, because many of those matters are most efficiently and sensibly dealt with at either the Department of Corrections level or, of course, the actual level for prison themselves. But yes, at the end of the day, it's an important facet of the of Western Australian system and other systems around the world that prisoners do have the capacity to come confidentially to the Ombudsman. So yes, Rex, they do.
Okay, thanks. I'm pleased to hear that. Okay, the second question, a little more loaded. Is there any oversight on your part of the Prisoner Review Board? And if not, do you think there should be?
Not a loaded question. I can certainly give you the answer to that, Rex, and that is the Prisoners Review Board is within the jurisdiction of the Western Australian Ombudsman. So it is one of the agencies that is under the under our watchdog role, and we can take complaints about the Prisoners Review Board.
You were saying earlier on that you can't review decisions, but you can review the process, because there's certainly some concerns amongst prisoners at the moment about the process, and you'd probably be aware there's a lot more people being refused parole. So that's something that you could look at, the process that's being followed?
Yeah, well, that's and Brexit follows basically what we call a standard sort of administrative law principle, and that is I wouldn't be very unusually substituting a decision of mine for any board decision, and that would include the Prisoners Review Board. We are looking at whether they've arrived decisions in a fair way, an appropriate way, the advice given to the board is fair and appropriate, timely, etc. So we have that standard ombudsman type role in relation to boards, but certainly in relation to the board, the Prisoners Review Board is one of those boards, of many boards and tribunals in the, many boards in the state which are in the jurisdiction of the ombudsman.
Good to have you with us, Rex. Thank you. Have to leave it there. Terry and Steve waiting, but very interesting questions. Terry.
Yeah, Graham, thanks for taking the call again.
Oh, pleasure.
I made a phone call to you last week about a problem I had with Telstra.
Yes.
And I suppose my next stop would have been Chris's office, but I probably, well, now I don't have to take it that far. Royston took my note, my details, and Telstra rang me the following day. And not that I get one phone call from one person, I've got a couple of phone calls, and yeah, everything's back to normal. Instead of the 15th of this month, we were supposed to get everything connected, it was connected, and they've also given us compensation. So I've got to thank you very much for the pressure that you're able to put on them, and it was great. You know.
No, Terry, thank you very much. Again, very generous of you to call. My hunch is Chris would have sent you to the telecommunications ombudsman if that had been the issue, but 10 out of 10 to Telstra. We did say in the course of conversation with you, Terry, that our experience has always been they follow up very quickly. And we're a little bit in a very similar situation to Chris's team in a way. I don't think my job in radio is to give someone an artificial advantage. So I didn't want you to get helped any quicker than your neighbours, for example. But it did seem to me that there had been the process had miscarried somewhere along the way. And to their great credit, Telstra came in, they had a look at it, they thought it had, and they not only corrected it, but they've compensated you for the trouble, which is fantastic. So we thank you for your call, mate, and thank you to Telstra for their prompt response. Let's go to Steve.
How are you going, guy?
Hey, good, Steve. The Ombudsman is listening. Chris.
Thanks, guy.
Chris, how are you going?
Good, thank you.
I've got a bit of a preemptive question. You know, it's against power. It's related to Western Power. I live out in a semi-rural area, and the power poles kind of lean at about a 15-degree angle towards my property. And that's what they've done. I've had the, you know, they have the notice that I've got to get someone to cut the trees. And one thing after another, didn't get time to do it, and they've sent someone to do it, which is fine. But they've just left all the branches and all over the place. And, of course, like, I came home from work on Thursday, and they're all over the place, and 2 days later it's a fire, you know, the local council wants people about clearing debris away for fire season. So I'm just wondering if, do they have some sort of obligation to clear up after they've cut the trees now?
Well, look, it's a good question. It depends in some ways on just a little bit more information about the circumstances in relation to the notice that was given to you in relation to the information that sort of exchanged between you and also sort of the state of where it is at the moment. Rather than go, what I can say is this, Western Power is an organisation within the Ombudsman or the Energy Ombudsman's jurisdiction. These are the sorts of issues that from time to time people do raise with our office, and so I think it would be useful and sensible that we could have a talk to you off air. So I think what I might do is get you to give your details.
Yeah, what
to
we'll do, Steve, we'll pass you back to Nikki. If you just give her permission, she'll give your details to Chris, and then someone from the Ombudsman's office will be in touch, and no doubt we can get that sorted in the way we've been hearing. Folks, that's how the thing works. You would need to ring if you do have a concern about a state government department. We've heard about prisons, the police, lands, education, something with your kids. You do need to ring us right now, and I'm more than happy to ask Chris other questions that I think will help everybody. But if you have specific issues, that's why he's in the studio. But you do need to ring now, 9221 882. We're back after the break.
Nightline, thanks to House without the E. Peace of mind for your home for just $1 a day.
Wake up to Steve Mills.
Which great man?
The great train?
No. Well, Bart, you mean? We can't say at this stage because I know you've been trying to get him and we're not giving anything away. You've still got another 7 minutes. And this is a competitive business.
Bart Cummings, good morning.
Breakfast with Steve Mills. Weekdays from 5:30 on 882 6PR.
Get your wellies on. Next March, why not book and join me for the holiday of a lifetime? Travelling to England, Scotland and Ireland with Ender Brady.
For more details on Howard and Ender's 15-day travel ride tour, call 1-800-630-343.
Do you know somebody who is elderly, has a medical condition or disability and is living alone? Are you concerned for their safety and well-being? Give them the gift of security and independence with a silver chain CareLink personal alarm. Worn around the neck or wrist, a CareLink personal alarm can be used to alert friends, family, or even an emergency service with the push of a button. To find out more, contact the CareLink line at Silver Chain, 1300 557 551.
For a great deal on caravans, don't miss Coromal Caravan Carrington's unbeatable offers at the 4-Wheel Drive and Adventure Show, November 12 to 14. Score a 20-foot family caravan with shower and toilet for $39,450. Drive away. Plus new Coromandel camper, just $24,950. Drive away. These deals won't be repeated. Discover great value and the great outdoors with Coromandel Caravans Cannington at the 4-Wheel Drive and Adventure Show. McCallum Park, November 12 to 14. Don't miss it.
On the terrace, the ideal backdrop for dinner with friends. Choose from a wide selection of tasty tapas and gourmet pizza. Or for the more substantial, seafood risotto and lamb shanks are among their many delectable mains. Top it all off with a gourmet beer, fine wine or refreshing cocktail. On the terrace, a memorable dining experience. Whether you're in it for the long or for the short of it, visit ontheterrace.com.au.
Here's another happy moment from Bankwest Business. A frog playing the drums. Happier? Then what about this? Bankwest new Business Zero Transaction Account has unlimited free transactions and no monthly maintenance fees. Visit bankwest.com.au/business/zero. That's seriously happy banking for business from Bankwest. Consider the PDS at bankwest.com.au. Other fees and charges, including other bank ATM access fees, may apply.
Get your heart pumping at NIB Stadium this Wednesday night for a special midweek clash. Perth Glory versus Melbourne Heart this Wednesday at 7 p.m. Secure your tickets now from ticketmaster.com.au or call 136 100.
Buy over 50 square metres of eco decking from Gunns Timber Welshpool today and get your free decking screw gun while stocks last. Eco decking looks great and is long lasting with no cracking, splitting or staining required, so it's maintenance free. Gunns Timber Welshpool also stock a huge range of Jarra decking and screening at competitive prices. So call into Gunns Welshpool Yard on Orang Road for your timber needs and decking specials. Also open Saturday mornings.
Until midnight on 6PR, Graham Mabry.
Okay, we have the State Ombudsman, and we talk a lot about his work in state government departments. Tonight I just want to conclude looking a little bit more closely at his work as the Energy Ombudsman. In essence, what are you there to examine, Chris? What's the thing?
Well, you're principally there for the energy companies in Western Australia, and it's gas and electricity, obviously, at the moment. And look, the principal type of disputes that come through to us are about billing. So, you know, the bills that aren't correct, that makes up a really good portion of the complaints that come through. We aim in that particular scheme to resolve complaints very quickly for people. The vast bulk of complaints are dealt with in about 10 business days.
Okay.
So, you know, 90% plus, it's a very timely way of getting your complaints resolved. And the service is free, and the service is... you know, we think fairly accessible to, or highly accessible to the Western Australian public, basically.
Okay, so you're having a, so you've got a, that you're running that. One of the things I'm hearing about on air, and not so much on my program, we've had one call, but some of the morning and afternoon shows have had more. There seem to be a growing number of people who are not particularly wrapped in the way that the scheme where you can put solar panels on your roof and then you put some money back in, you put power back into the system, and then you are given credit for that power that you put in, and that comes off the bill that you're taking out. There's been some angst around the place about that. Has that reached your department yet?
Yeah, look, a little bit of that is coming through. At this stage, I don't think it's a significant issue, but that's not to say it might not grow over time. Certainly, I think for some of my eastern state colleagues, it's also an issue as well. Look, there's a couple of things there, just very broadly.
Yeah.
Many of the sorts of complaints I understand that people are raising in those issues are actually issues about alleged mis-selling. So being told that the solar power cell would do something that it's actually not doing. Now, those sort of complaints would generally then be taken to our Department of Commerce in Western Australia, and of course ultimately may potentially also be an issue for the Australian Competition and Consumer Commission. This is basically consumer mis-selling allegations.
Mm-hmm.
There might also be some issues with the way those things are installed, because they have to be installed in certain ways to optimise the solar collection and for the way they work. Mm-hmm. But there could ultimately be issues about the billing that arises from that, and those could be ones to be dealt with by my scheme, absolutely.
Okay, so that in that area, I guess the main thing outside of that, and that's kind of in abeyance, as it were, hasn't come through in any volume yet, so the main thing would be complaints over bills, I imagine.
Yeah, look, and for just about every industry ombudsman scheme, that is schemes for industries like energy, telecommunications, which you mentioned earlier, almost all of those schemes, the vast bulk of complaints are about bills being too high, bills not being correct. I thought it would be higher than this, lower than this. I've got an estimated bill. I haven't received a bill for the last 6 months. All those sorts of billing issues,
yep.
which you'd be familiar with from many calls
absolutely.
Over a number of years, they're the sorts of issues that schemes like the Energy Ombudsman deal with.
Okay, and estimating is always a tricky one, but I'm happy to put that to one side purely in order to talk to you about something else, and that is, how do you get around the difficulties of, like, I'm not surprised, every time you come in, I always say, don't forget, of course, the State Ombudsman deals with state government departments, including the Department for Child Protection.
Yep.
That would have some real challenges because of confidentiality, wouldn't it? Do you find issues there that, I know for us as media, often there's a limit to what we can do because, and I fully support this, obviously the confidentiality of the child has to be protected, absolutely, and there's a very limited degree to which information can be released to us as a media organisation. I guess with your team they can have access to anything. They're inside that orb of confidentiality, I guess.
Yeah, correct. Well, I suppose there's two sides to that. Yes, we can obtain information that's appropriate, necessary to obtain. In fact, we have the full powers of a Standing Royal Commission to do that, so
right.
We have significant information gathering powers. On the other side, that the information that we gather as part of our investigations, we have very strict confidentiality requirements in relation to that. So basically, that information we get is kept confidential. There's all sorts of good policy reasons for that. I, as the Ombudsman, I always have the discretion to release information
okay.
if I think it's in the public interest to do so.
Oh, okay, I didn't
and
know
it,
that.
And it will depend on the circumstances.
Yeah.
Say, for example, I received information that was otherwise given to us confidentially or
sure.
would otherwise be considered confidential, and I thought there was, say, a risk to a child, we would release that information to the relevant authorities to ensure that child's welfare would be protected. So we would never put a privacy right or a confidentiality right ahead of a clear and imminent sort of safety or risk right that would be not in the public interest to do that.
Okay, now the other one that I thought would be interesting too is you have the right to investigate complaints about the police, they're a state government department, but now there's also the police have their own internal stuff, of course, but there's also the CCC and such. How do you relate to that? Where do the lines get drawn between you and if you're investigating a complaint about police?
Yeah, no, it's an excellent question. You're absolutely right. Western Australian Police have their own internal complaints mechanisms and, a fairly robust system in relation to their internal processes. Then they also have the CCC, Corruption and Crime Commission, and they obviously look at the misconduct end, the more serious end. What we do in relation to police is look at those sort of administrative issues. So most of the police jurisdiction of the Ombudsman historically did a number of years ago transfer to the Corruption and Crime Commission.
Yeah.
So we have really lots of residual jurisdiction to look at some of those sort of administrative
such
issues.
Such as?
Oh, well, I mean, it would be
hypothetical, but what sort of things might come to you?
It might be things like, delays in dealing with certain applications or delays in dealing with certain matters. It might be conduct of police officers at an end of the spectrum that didn't constitute a more serious conduct, those sorts of things.
Mm-hmm.
So the more serious matters, the sort of matters you might sometimes read about in, for example, the Western Australian or other newspapers or here on 6PR, they would be generally matters probably in the jurisdiction of the CCC.
For in the day-to-day, workaday world, when obviously whenever you join us, people can contact us and get to you that way, but as from tomorrow, how do people get in touch with the Ombudsman's office?
We've got a couple of phone numbers. One's 9220 7555, which is
okay.
our main number, and a free call number, which is always important, 1-800-117-000.
Okay.
And of course, we do have a website as well, which is www.ombudsman.wa.gov.au.
All right, so you got do the website first. You've got ombudsman.wa.gov.au.
Correct.
You then have 9220 7555.
Our general number, correct.
And the 1-800 number is 1-800
117 000.
1170. Folks, if you didn't get those and you want them, give Nikki a call. We'll pass them on. Once again, Chris, thanks for being with us.
Absolute pleasure, Graham.
We got the news.